and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Another jam-packed celebrity hotline today. We are calling Dr. Gupta at the top of next hour.
Yes.
From CNN to talk about his new special. CNN presents Addiction, Life on the Edge. Wait a minute, is this an intervention?
I am not a drunk!
Listen, I might not be that bright, but I saw that coming. Representative Michael Honda, a Democrat of the great state of California, also next hour on the Celebrity Hotline to talk about the president's trip to Mexico and the need for immigration reform.
That's right.
And in hour number three, Fran Drescher.
Mr. Sheffield.
To talk about her Cancer Schmancer organization.
That's
and,
right.
And much more. And we're going to see if she's going to run for something, because there are rumors.
Rumors are afoot.
Exactly. So Fran Drescher on the... my love, whom I have also kissed and made up with since the the heated primary. She was very, very, very pro-Hillary.
Bobby Fleckman, Palma Records.
It was one of my favorite moments of the primary. Remember when it was right before the, which primary was it? But she started speaking Spanish for quite some time while I was on Larry King with her.
It was before Florida.
Yes, because mm-hmm. she was trying to speak to the Hispanic voters in Florida to vote for Hillary.
Mostly Cubans.
But I just never forget, because Larry King looked at me and said, what was that? That was weird.
Que esto?
Adios mio. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, no. The teabagger numbers were not accurate. Isn't
they
that
were wildly
weird?
Inflated?
Huh. Oh, I could not have seen that coming. We didn't have a confirmation quite yesterday.
Right.
But we had one freeper on the phone that said he was in Atlanta and there were 25,000 people there.
Even Sean Hannity didn't say there was that much.
Mm-hmm. John writes, Steph, the teabagger crowd estimates Nate Silver, who was eerily accurate during the primary and the election mm-hmm. from 538.com, has numbers based on reporters and police estimates. He lists Atlanta at 1,700.
That's not quite 20,000.
No.
Actually, 25,000 if you were listening to our caller who said he was there and had an eyewitness account. Okay.
Maybe Ron Christie thought there were 25,000.
Jim
Ward. Sort of doubled the... more than double, so even he wouldn't have...
All right. Could I have some fine American music, please? Speaking of teabaggers and polls...
I beg your pardon?
There is a new poll out in for the fine Americans in Minnesota, specifically... Norm Coleman doesn't have much support back home for contesting the results of the Minnesota Senate race, according to a new poll of Minnesota voters. The poll shows 63%, that's over 60%, Jim,
mm-hmm.
say they believe Coleman should concede the race to Al Franken, which is 37% supporting further appeals, 59%, that's nearly
60%, yeah.
Say they want Governor Tim Pawlenty to sign the certificate declaring Franken the winner. The pollster said with the ruling of the three-judge panel, it appears most Minnesota voters are now ready for this election to be over. Folks seem to think that Franken is the rightful winner. Isn't that weird? Because he had more votes.
Wow.
But Norm Coleman.
Crazy.
What a carpetbagger.
And that he should be allowed to take his seat instead of the process being dragged out further. Good job, Minnesota. Good job. Thanks for paying attention over there. Who got the most votes and other crazy socialist plots like that?
I'm the real senator from Wisconsin, something, wherever I'm supposed
they
to be senator from.
That Coleman should give it up now.
A three-judge panel confirmed Monday night that Democrat Al Franken did indeed get more votes in the 2008 Minnesota Senate race.
What does that mean?
It's time for Mr. Coleman to step aside.
I don't know what that means.
Norm. Coleman.
That thing sucks.
Say it!
Norm. Coleman.
Say it!
Senator Al Franken.
I would call on Senator Coleman to allow me to get to work for the people of Minnesota as soon as possible.
Because I'm good enough,
Norm.
I'm smart enough,
Coleman.
And doggone it,
Minnesota
people like me.
Thank you, Shano.
This has not been Norm's best campaign, but that's okay.
Oh, yes. People of Minnesota want Norm to stop torturing them. Speaking of which, we will get
to
that.
He must be grinding his perfect teeth to a stump.
I just sense that his dentist just has whole rows of those identical chiclets ready. Just in case. Because he probably is. I bet he's ground those chompers down twice during this whole thing.
Those are some scary-ass teeth.
Yeah.
You stepped on my torture segue, Jim. What I was trying to say is we will be with the breaking news soon of the torture.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the new torture memos and not prosecuting
CIA
agents.
This may be the time that we begin to criticize President Obama.
Although...
We'll be back with all that as soon as... We'll tell you what we think of all that right after we check some other news we don't want to lose. That's a tease!
Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it stays broken. Our top story. Across the country, Republicans and their conservative allies sought to ignite a grassroots rebellion against President Obama on Wednesday, staging scores of tax day tea parties to demand tax cuts, lower federal spending, and smaller government. But the effort came with a risk. In the current economic crisis, with 500,000 or more jobs vanishing each month, many Americans seem less concerned about how much Washington deducts from their paychecks than whether they will have a paycheck at all.
Exactly.
At issue is whether the anti-tax, anti-government spending message make Republicans seem out of touch with present-day reality.
Yes,
according to polls. Polls have found Americans are more comfortable with what they pay in taxes than at any time in the last quarter century.
Yeah.
Good job, Republicans. Way to have your finger on the pulse of the American people. And Obama's high approval ratings on the economy suggest that most people accept his argument that a major increase in spending is necessary to blunt the crisis right now. At least since the days of Ronald Reagan, Republicans have thrived on the anti-spend, anti-tax message, despite the fact that GOP presidents have presided over major expanses of the deficit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just FYI. GTK. Check into it.
And the economy always does better under Democratic presidents. It's just a fact.
And you pay more taxes under Reagan. Your hero. Today, however, the economic climate is far different, as evidenced by the election in which voters picked a do-more-spend-more presidential candidate over a do-less-cut-taxes candidate. We have the president on all this.
Now, we all know that Republicans like to drink deep from the cup of crazy. I mean, Sarah Palin, I rest my case. But since I've been elected, they've been mainlining the madness, and a fat lot of good it's done them, too. It's because they've seriously underestimated the mojo I can bring to the table. For instance, they ran that game where they didn't support my legislation and then blamed me for lack of bipartisanship. What happened? American people took my side of the question and their numbers went south. They accused me of selling America down the river, and what happened? Well, 65% of the people think the country is headed in the right direction. They call my tax cuts a tax increase, and the people are starting to measure them for straitjackets. They even accuse me of being a Muslim, and thousands of new mosques are growing up all over America. Okay, I made that last one up, but I had to go, didn't I? The reason for all this is very simple. It's the age-old political principle of, I'm rubber, and you're glue, and whatever you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Neener. Neener.
Neener.
Neener. The opposite.
And finally, pull up the covers over your head, kids, and turn on the flashlight. It's time for a ghost story. Nun's ghost tells owner how to renovate house?
What?
Huh? That doesn't sound too scary.
There was scarier stuff leading up to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let me get to the story. I love ghost stories. Ghostbusters had failed to drive out the souls who drift in and out of an 1820 settler house in Bathurst. The house was bought on a whim.
This is Seth Ithaca. Ross?
Yes. By Johannesburg businesswoman Marilyn Michaud. Yeah. In December 2005, the building has since been exorcised several times. Has Bobby Jindal been there yet?
Because South Africans can do anything.
By some of the best Ghostbusters in South Africa, reputedly haunted for the past 140 years.
Ooh.
By the ghost of a pregnant nun who committed suicide in the house soon after her illicit relationship with a slave or a soldier was discovered. The history of the place did not spook the businesswoman off. An avid Ghostbuster herself, Michaud called in the best Catholic exorcist in South Africa.
Oh, he's good.
Okay. Yeah, he's a good one. Father Larry Kaufman, you've used him.
Oh, yeah.
He's the best.
She said upstairs a lot of entities presented themselves. I wonder the ghost of Barbara Hershey's original lips were there. There were bad smells and winds. When we got to my son's room, there was a smell that would not go away. It just got worse.
Well, it was your son.
I was going to say, a lot of teenage boys, you know, take a whiff.
They smell.
I knew I could wedge a fart joke in here. Kaufman explained that the room had once contained the bodies of dead legless soldiers.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if the realtor had to mention that.
Yeah.
When we renovated the room, we found pentagrams and other satanic emblems made from copper under the wooden floors. I removed them and threw them in the ocean. Oh, everyone that buys a house in Madison, Wisconsin goes through this. Whatever. This is just Tuesday in Madison.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Strange events in the house include light switching on and off, doors being flung open by winds, mystery shadows, chopping sounds from the kitchen, foul odors, bed covers being ripped off, and the occasional sighting of the nun ghost.
Ooh.
The nun.
Oh, the painting. Tell the part about the painting. This is great.
Oh! Look at him. He's under the covers with me. Okay.
You really liked this story, didn't you?
I love this story. This is the longest setup ever in the history of stand-up news. I'm telling them the whole story.
Do pentagrams skip if you throw them on the water?
Okay,
cool.
Let's see. What? Oh, the nun painting? I didn't.
Oh, you didn't get that part? Oh,
yeah. A day. Okay. Let's see. She painted a blah, blah, blah. She painted her a picture of an angel, and a day after hanging the artwork, a friend arrived and asked why the painting of the dead nun on the wall. The angel had a rope painted around her neck that was not there when I opened the parcel.
The call's coming from inside the house!
She's a... Get out.
Anyway, the nun told the medium to thank me for listening to her and buying the house. She had waited over 100 years for someone to come along that could love the house as much as she had, and she'd chosen me. She described the house exactly, asked me to renovate and restore it to its former glory, particularly by making the upstairs windows into doors again. She followed the nun's instructions to the letter and restored the house. Okay, now we have the woman that bought the house.
Yes. When we moved in there, there were strange manifestations. There were moans as if someone had bashed his finger with a hammer. There was the ka-chunk of the framing nailer, and there were strange rappings. The rappings were mostly by knuckles by a wooden ruler. Smarted quite a bit. But it was through these manifestations that I got to know Sister Mary Fishnail, our lady of perpetual renovation. She's a strict task mistress, and here are her commandments. Thou shalt not suffer oak to be painted. And thou, shouldst thou discover painted oak, thou shalt hand sand it to pristine newness. Thou shalt use 220 grit. Thou shalt not mix stainless steel and enameled appliances. That is an abomination. Thou shalt not apply butcher block, nor tile, nor limestone to thy horizontal surfaces. Thou shalt apply only the purest granite, or something thou canst take for granite. If thou hirest a designer, thou shalt hire no other designer save one of the homosexual tribe. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou hast, however, the right to do so in any dealings with thy contractor. Contractors are unclean, minions of Satan. And Ty Pennington is a wanker. And by the way, your mother sews socks that smell. Boo.
Wow.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week, take friends.
The setup was longer than than the bit.
If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Durall.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. There's a tile ad for it at the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. And I know we've been slacking off, but there will be new content coming.
Really?
Soon.
Yes. Yay!
Jeff in Michigan with a ghost story. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I'm wondering if it'd be possible to send one of those South African exorcists up to Minnesota to exorcise the ghost of Norm Coleman.
Hey!
See how we melded those two stories together just like that.
The white teeth floating in the air with nothing behind them.
All right. Fresh from battling pirates, the president battling border violence in Mexico, we will tell you exactly what he's doing as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. It is that time of the morning when we say, it's Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mío, mi amigo.
Support for the Mamacita y los Mookies Show is provided by the Patron Reposado Tequila Foundation and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Thank you, sir.
Muy buenas noches, mamacita, los mookies. I beg your indulgence. I have three very quick points to bring up because I have so many beefs right now. I could open up a butcher shop when it comes to the torture memo.
Yeah, me too. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Jonathan Turley said this best yesterday. It is the job of the Justice Department to administer the law as it is. Plain enough said about that. Now, as far as
not as the Bush administration decided it was.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Now,
it,
this ties into Cuba, which is something that this Obama discussed yesterday in Mexico, and he said he was offering glimmers of hope when it comes to Cuban relations, following a relationship that's been frozen for 50 years. Raul Castro has even reciprocated by offering equal partnership discussions with the United States.
Your commie will do that sort of thing.
Yes. Okay. But how can, Jim, how can we even discuss human rights with Cuba until we hold those who violated human rights in our country accountable?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but here's the critical thing to me, Sanchez, is do you hold, to me, the more important thing is holding the people that gave the orders accountable. You know, just like Abu Ghraib. It's not Lindy England. It's you know, the soldiers follow orders. And to me, you've got to prosecute the people that ordered this.
Well, another blow to the progressive.
I mean, I kind of get that the CIA interrogators were following orders. The Bush administration gave them memos. If you saw them yesterday, they were chilling.
Yes.
That said, this is legal.
Yes. Well, Spain even dropped going after the Bush administration yesterday. But the final point to tie everything together here: Obama is meeting today in Trinidad with the Summit of the Americas, and don't expect things there to go peaches and cream for him, particularly after his announcement moving on today. That's not going to set well with countries like Chile, Central America, El Salvador, Venezuela, because of the CIA involvement. Mm-hmm. Hugo Chavez has already called Obama an ignoramus for his dealings here. So I'm very concerned. This is like another serious mistake, mamacita.
Well, you know, and that's even, what was it, Dick Armitage yesterday, said waterboarding is torture. So, you know, obviously a lot of people in the Bush administration knew this was torture and knew it was wrong. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, thanks, Sanchez. Jim, what were you going to say? Your take on it?
Well, it's just that, you know, Obama's playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers, and he's always thinking three moves ahead. There may be a reason for not doing this right now. I'm cutting him some slack here, but yeah, he has a point. I mean, it sets a terrible precedent.
I know. So that's what I'm saying is, to me, that's exactly what we said about Abu Ghraib and elsewhere. You can't. How can you just prosecute the people that carried out the orders? You've got to.
Well, yeah, we were just following the orders. Didn't fly at Nuremberg, so it should be by now.
Oh, I know. Listen, you can ask my dad, who was a prosecutor in Nuremberg. But CIA interrogators who used waterboarding on terrorism suspects will not face prosecution. In case you hadn't heard, President Obama said yesterday in releasing Bush-era memos specifying the practice did not constitute torture. Obama affirmed his administration's unwillingness to prosecute under anti-torture laws CIA personnel who relied in good faith on Bush administration legal opinions issued after the September 11th attacks. There's some validity in that, if you ask me. That's what I'm saying is, you know, when you work for an administration, I mean, I've got to know that a lot of people knew this was wrong, but I don't know.
There's some political calculus going on here. This is something that he can't take on right now. There's too many other things.
Something he can't tell us.
What did President Obama say about it yesterday? We will tell you when we return as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is heaven missing an angel? Because you've got nice cans.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Don't miss a minute of the big show. Coming up in about a half an hour, Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the Celebrity Hotline and a Conspiracy Corner. Conspiracy Corner returns.
That's right.
About these right-wing extremist groups and another Jim Ward Conspiracy Corner. All right. And also, we will talk about the president in Mexico. But first, everybody talking about the torture, Obama shielding CIA interrogators from charges on torture. Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama. I'm feeling a bit deceived this morning. We voted for Obama, I should say we, because I voted for Obama, because he was a man who seemed like he had it together. He was smart. He was intelligent. He was bringing us to a higher moral standard after living for 8 years with something, you know, to the morality of a alley cat. And mm-hmm. now, when this seems like such an absurdly clear-cut line between what was wrong and what was done, why hedge on it? I know, Jim, you said something about political. He's a masterful planner. He's a highly intelligent man, and maybe he's got to build more capital. But right now, the American people need someone who's going to say, this was wrong, and we are going to be a better people than this. And I really feel sad.
Well, but Dave, do you get my point about how do you prosecute just the people that carried out the orders and not? I mean, so here's where I don't, Jim may be right. There may be something down the road. The only thing in this story that caught my eye was administration officials within the Justice Department or the White House were not covered by Obama's policy, a department official said.
Right.
But he gave no sign that any criminal investigation was being contemplated, but we don't know.
Well, Mama, you're the smartest girl in class. Everyone knows that. But the fact is, you're right. The people that carried it out shouldn't alone be bearing the brunt of this. The ones who masterminded it, they are the ones who really should take the responsibility. But they lack any kind of moral fiber in the first place, so they're not going to. They don't feel any responsibility. We're dealing with people who are being moral here.
Jim mentioned Nuremberg, and I my dad was an assistant prosecutor, and boy, I've never wished he was around more than to talk to him about this right now, because I like Jim said, that didn't fly at Nuremberg, that they were following orders. So anyway, honey, all right, thank you. The memos were chilling, as many people described them. They approved techniques including waterboarding, week-long sleep deprivation, nudity, and putting insects in with a tightly confined prisoner. Obama said, I've already ended the techniques described in the memos. He also talked about Gitmo.
Obviously, I've been very clear that Guantanamo is to be closed, that some of the practices of enhanced interrogation techniques, I think, ran counter to American values and American traditions. So I've put an end to these policies. I'm a strong believer that it's important to look forward and not backwards, to remind ourselves that we do have very real security threats out there. I have not had direct conversations with the Spanish government about these issues. My team has been in communications with them. I think that we are moving a process forward here in the United States to understand what happened, but also to focus on how we make sure that the manner in which we operate currently is consistent with our values and our traditions. My sense is that this will be worked out over time.
Jim, all I can help is that there's a whiff in there. Maybe there is prosecution coming for Bush administration officials that actually ordered the torture. I don't know.
I think Obama has to be careful not to upset his intelligence.
Well, that's
agencies.
What I mean. The guys that are currently, women that are currently doing their job, and to not have them fear prosecution. But a former number two State Department official, I mentioned Dick Armitage, says he hopes he would have had the courage to resign if he had known the CIA was subjecting terrorism suspects to waterboarding. He was, as you know, former Deputy Secretary of State. He said he believes waterboarding is torture. However, he said he does not believe CIA officials who engaged in waterboarding and other forms of harsh interrogation should be prosecuted. Let's go to Sheila in South Carolina on this very subject. Hey, Sheila.
Hey, Stephanie. I was just calling because I was listening to the Bill Press show earlier, and a guy called in and said you have to get the smaller guys, which are the CIA agents, to turn on the bigger guys. You have to move up to get prosecution. Well, what they said was that they weren't going to prosecute the CIA agents. Maybe that's because they already have who they need in the CIA.
That's possible.
Maybe they already have the information from people that they've promised immunity to so that they can use them later
good
on.
Point.
I was going to say, Jim makes a good point about the president playing chess and the rest of us playing checkers. So, maybe we're being overly hopeful. Hope mongers that we are. let's go to Crystal in Chicago on the torture. Hello, Crystal.
Hello, Stephanie. I think what Jim is saying is absolutely correct. I think that Obama is planning ahead. He always plans ahead. And I think what he's doing is setting up a platform to basically, tell the people who, did do the orders that were given by the higher-ups, basically giving them a platform to say, we're not going to go after you. You're not going to get in trouble. But we need your testimony basically to get rid of, Dick Cheney, which
which is probably the biggest one, Karl Rove and George W. Bush.
Well, did you read, was it Andrew Sullivan, the piece I was quoting, I think, that said this? This is why Cheney is out there shooting his mouth off every day, because he knows this is coming out.
I also heard that on the Ronald Reagan show.
Right, but it also, Crystal, is what, you know, Jim is talking about, is that Obama, is, if he's nothing else, he's a masterful politician. If you look at what happened, whether it start with Hillary McCain, this is what Andrew Sullivan's piece was about, that, you know what, Dick Cheney, if history's any guy, may need to,
and he's
may need to lawyer up, as they say.
What happens, he is a horrible person. A horrible person. Everything that was done, I mean, George Bush was his puppet, and he played it well. You know, really, who was the president? Well, you know what? George Bush is just as dumb for allowing him to run the country the way that he did.
Yep.
And they are absolutely, absolutely, they should be put to jail. I mean, they broke constitutional law.
Yeah, well, and again, Obama's a constitutional scholar,
exactly.
So, yeah. All right, honey, thank you. Matthew in Dallas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Mama and the Mooks.
Hello.
About Obama, you know, one thing we have to remember is politics is not a game for the impatient. And we have to understand that a lot of these people, including the president, need to look ahead, as Jim said, many moves ahead before. It's kind of like the game Shogi. Also, Obama's the president.
Shogi?
Excuse me?
Shogi's like Japanese chess.
Oh! Konnichiwa.
Yeah. I have to throw in a reference there. But anyway.
So it's nothing like Chinese checkers.
Chinese checkers, what? No.
Okay. Gotcha.
No marbles. Significant lack of marbles. Anyway, he's the president, so obviously he knows something we don't.
And Matthew, when you think about it, who knows, but this could be the opposite of Abu Ghraib, where look what the Bush administration did. It's like, okay, we got the bad apples that did it. That's look over there.
Yeah,
you know, so this is the opposite of saying, look, we're not going to, you know, go after the small.
Unfortunately, Obama has the great misfortune of trying to tend to a bunch of people who are not very easy to please. As constituents, we're not that easy to please in the long run. So
right. I want everything I want right now.
That's how we tend to be, unfortunately.
We're all Kyles. Yeah. Do you remember Jim's character during the primary? Kyle was the person who was going to run the country into the... If they didn't get everything he wants, he's going to run the country into the ground and vote for... I don't remember who.
Coming from me, a teenager, somebody like me calling for patience, that's something.
Yeah.
Teenage boys not known for their patience. Let's go to...
Or, and they're not known for smelling like roses either.
No. Joe in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Torture. Hey, Joe.
Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, you know, for a long time there have been comparisons between the Nazis and the Bush administration, but you know there is one distinction here, and that is that the Nazis at least respected the Geneva Conventions and tried to avoid being exposed. But the fact is that the Bush administration just tried to say that the Geneva Conventions never applied.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean, that's, you know, you can't just magically say the Geneva Convention doesn't apply to you.
Yeah.
Keith in Illinois on Torture. Hello, Keith. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, our supreme commander of the forces has just given us a kick in the back.
Mm.
He's now told the foreign enemies that we have that they can torture, and we're not going to prosecute you when we finish the war. And as the husband...
Well, I mean, that's the argument that we've always made, is that it makes our troops less safe, and, you know,
he's now the new president. Well, we knew that with Bush, but the new president has now clarified that.
Well, Keith, I get it. I'm not happy about this either, but again, if it's part of a longer-range plan of getting the people that ordered it, I understand that.
It was taught to us in the British Army. And it was taught to me in the Arab army that I joined that torture was out. How are you going to, as everybody says, how are you going to get proper information if that happens?
Well you're not, but that's the point. Is he's saying he's ended these techniques, so we do not torture, but what to do about the past is obviously a matter of debate, which we will keep debating. 43 minutes after the hour, back with more of our thoughts and yours, the president in Mexico, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour. Just after the top of the hour, Dr. Sanjay Gupta and the return of the Conspiracy Corner. About these violent right-wing groups that are mentioned in the Homeland Security memo. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of chilling memos, the torture memos released yesterday. Selena in Fort Lauderdale, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hey, hello.
Can you hear me okay? I'm on the cell phone. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I just wanted to make one point. Remember that Obama is exposing this layer by layer. We're getting all the – everything is being exposed. Nothing's being covered up. It's out there for us to look at, examine, and mm-hmm. see. And transparency. He promised us that, and he got us that. And I'm sure there's going to be
right.
more.
Right. It does remind me of the chill out, mother. I got this. Let's just hope that this is true in this case as well.
Down the road, there's
going to
be more. If this is just the beginning.
Well, he is Selena, you know, whether you're for him or against him, he is a masterful politician. And, you know, you can ask Hillary Clinton or John McCain. And, you know, I don't know if this is another rope-a-dope, but like I say, if I were Dick Cheney, I would, I'd be a nervous.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's why he's, you know, flapping his mouth all over the place, because he's
trying
nervous.
To rewrite this, because he knew exactly what's going to come out.
That's right.
And all right. Coming out in dribs and drabs. Let's go to Jeff in Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm really glad to have the opportunity to tell you this, but one angle that no one's really looked at is the fact that, you know, Obama can't do much from a coffin, and the CIA actually has his security in their hands. I mean, I don't know if you've seen exactly. things from an historical perspective, but there are different things that have occurred that people would write off as conspiracy theory, but I've seen enough evidence of the power and control of the CIA to do things and have accidents and things happen. But people
Jeff, don't I don't care if you're getting married in 20 minutes, you're not going to want to miss Conspiracy Corner. Trust me on that.
Okay. but I'm just saying it is a fact that they do have his security in his hands. And, you know, he's doing a lot of things. He's making friends, but he's probably making a lot of enemies because he's changing things in so many different ways that haven't been done before. There's probably a number of people looking out. And the CIA actually has their – they have his life in their hands. And it, depending on who that is and how they do it, sadly as it is, he can't do much from a coffin. So
yep, I hear you, honey. Good point. All right, good point. Let's go to Henry in Detroit on torture as well. Hi, Henry. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, you guys.
Hi.
I love hate you.
Huh?
Back at you.
And I wanted to just make the point, as I'm listening to this stuff, I'm remembering what happened when those contractors were caught, and I'm thinking about how we deal with torture as a culture, and I think the lower common denominator sort of rings true when we're talking about that. And I think back when those contractors were captured and those people were chopped into pieces and dragged through the streets and hung from bridges, and all of these reporters and people that are being captured and having their heads chopped off, and I'm thinking we're talking about shades of gray, and I wonder...
But Henry, if you read those list of techniques, does it bother you at all that was done in your name and likely on some innocent people as well?
Yeah, from a mental draining standpoint and from humiliation and that, I do think it's pretty bad. I just, in my mind, I'm trying to think what would be an effective way to get somebody to talk that isn't detrimental to them. And one of the other things I haven't heard of at all is...
But Henry, if you ask people that are experts, they'll tell you torture doesn't work. That's not how we've gotten actionable intelligence. You get incorrect intelligence.
See, that was the statistic I hadn't been hearing, and if that's the case, then it's completely a waste of time to do anything like that.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yes.
That's our point.
That should be the number one point about torture. It doesn't work.
Are innocent, and they don't have any valid information to give them. You know, they were
right.
picked up. And
yeah, read this memo and think of what you would say to get them to stop any of those things. Let's go to Paul in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Anyway.
Don't welcome me. I'm always here.
I wanted to actually say one quick thing to Henry, too. We also killed people. We put them in boxes, and we've killed several people while we tortured them. So it wasn't just humiliation. We did murder people. And my main point was, though, I like hearing all this hope that you guys have, and I hope that Obama does do the right thing, but he still keeps saying this move forward, which also Gerald Ford said about Nixon, and Clinton didn't do anything about Iran-Contra.
Oh, Paul, trust me, we'll turn like angry junkyard dogs if he doesn't.
Yeah, I know, and I like that he he sent out the memos. That's a very good step. I just hope it doesn't stop here. And he says, well, they did bad things. And, you know, like Richard Armitage, he had a good interview on Al Jazeera English.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said he didn't want to see anybody get thrown in the hooscow. I'm surprised he even used that word. But I believe him that he didn't know that there was torture, but I don't know. Something needs to be done, and I just hope and pray Obama does something.
You're right. He also released the memo. So the other thing is that, you know, the more daylight this seems, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, he can't look like he's behind, you know, I think looking backwards and prosecuting the Bush administration, but other people can.
If they have
the information and they have, you know, who is it? Eric Holder has said no one's above the law. I mean, there's been interesting things they've said, if you're listening carefully. All right, honey. Let's go to Jake in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I hate to burst everyone's Obama bubble, but, you know, you don't let the lower-tier people go and tell them they're not going to be prosecuted and hope to get information from them. It works the other way. You squeeze the little
people. Right.
Right, but Jake, I don't know if you heard our previous caller. She said they may already have.
Right, they already have may already have information who've given it up willingly.
I think what's really happening here is that President Obama is in the place where President Bush was, and now he knows what President Bush knew. And I think, really, if you look at what he's done, or maybe more importantly, what he hasn't done, President Bush's war on terror policies and his war on Iraq policies are being vindicated by what President Obama is not changing.
No, I disagree.
What has he done different?
He's stopped all of these techniques that are in. He stopped all of these techniques that are in the memo, and he. Go ahead.
He hasn't even changed Secretary of Defense. He has not closed Guantanamo Bay. He hasn't done any of the things.
Yes, but he is going to close Guantanamo Bay. You can't do it tomorrow. You know that. Come on, Jake. You know it's.
How many people are there? 200 people? You can't find the place for 200 people and close the place down?
Honey, there are a lot of complex legal issues with this. You can't. I mean, seriously. I'm an extra crispy bucket of liberal, but I'm not going to go. Yeah, just close it and let him go. I mean, you know, there's a lot of issues here that have
to. Tell me what he's done differently. Right down to read.
He has stopped the torture. He has stopped the techniques in the memo.
They have not outlawed waterboarding.
Yes, they have.
No, they have stopped the practice of waterboarding.
Eric Holder said unequivocally, waterboarding is torture. Barack Obama has said we have stopped these techniques.
Except in extreme circumstances, there's a clause in there.
No, there's not, Jake. No, there's not a clause in there. All right.
What the hell was he talking about?
I want everything I want now.
Kyle. Thanks, Kyle.
Or I'm just gonna. Turn blue in the face and scream.
David in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Thank you. Listen, when our troops were tortured in Mogadishu, dragged through the streets and burned and all that fun stuff, Bill Clinton was president, and I presume we weren't torturing people back then. So how is not torturing people keep our troops safe when you have these radical fundamentalists who are going to continue the torture?
Well, just because they do it doesn't mean it's right.
We should do it too? David, we're America. We're saying we should just be as bad as everybody else? That's insane.
You know what I'm saying is when you're fighting an enemy who does not care about life, sometimes you got to stoop to their level.
No, you don't.
Why? What does it accomplish? We're not getting actionable intelligence. It doesn't work.
But by us not torturing is not stopping them from not torturing.
Wait, you don't think
America should have any moral high ground, David? You think we should be the same?
How do we have moral high ground if we engage in?
We're not fighting
a country. We're fighting a fundamentalist religion who wants everyone.
Okay.
We need to gut up and finish this and get rid of these people.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, we need to.
We just need to kill everybody.
I don't want to live in his country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we need to get rid of any morals we ever had. Okay, Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Conspiracy Corner next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What you don't know about cancer prevention can be devastating. Actress activist Fran Drescher on the Celebrity Hotline next hour on that. President Obama getting ready to announce sweeping immigration reform. He is in Mexico, you know. Representative Michael Honda, Democrat of the great state of California, later this hour to talk about that. All right. Oh, and a conspiracy corner on the Homeland Security Department's report on right-wing extremist groups.
That's part of it.
Yes, that's part of it. You won't want to miss that coming up in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, interesting, the Mexican president yesterday with Barack Obama.
The source of the problem was the huge demand for drugs in the United States, the largest market in the world for drugs. You, in the United States. You have a lot of traffic of drugs. You have a lot of distribution of drugs. You have a lot of corruption as well.
Interesting. Addiction is it's a complex topic, isn't it, Chris? It's like it takes a brain surgeon to understand
does.
It. It really. What? Who is it, Chris?
CNN's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Calling me?
Yes.
Normally you have to call him.
I love it.
Good morning, doctor.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing? I just wanted to call. I heard you talking about addiction. I thought I should call in right away.
Yes.
And you're listening as you do every morning. Doctor, here's a fun fact about me. I am best friends with someone that you went to high school with who says you cheated off her in physics class all the time. All right, I made that part up, but she did go to high school with you in Detroit.
I heard that. In fact, I just got an email from her earlier
today.
Wow.
And,
before we continue the interview, because I might have to end it abruptly, what else did she tell you?
I said, please tell me some embarrassing high school stories about Dr. Sanjay Gupta. All right.
Can I say that I enjoy, you're terrific. I listen to you, obviously, but I watch you on television as well. You're terrific.
Oh, thank you. All right, I will... Now I'm going to throw out all these high school stories. Damn it. You are good. Now, you have a special coming up about addiction, which is such an important topic because it affects 20 million. There are 20 million substance abuse addicts in America, right?
Yeah.
That is a huge problem.
Yeah, but, you know, there's 23 million, and 20 million aren't getting treatment. That was the,
wow.
the initial inspiration for me to start this documentary process about a year ago. Hardly anybody, really, in the scheme of things, is getting treated.
Well, and by the way, this is this Saturday at 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, Addiction Life on the Edge, because you talk about, you know, it's a complex problem in terms of is medicine or counseling best.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what you found.
Okay, well. You know, when you start thinking about addiction, I think there's a basic question that kept coming up again and again as we talk to scientists, addicts, people who run rehab centers, and that is, what is your view of addiction in terms of its cause? Is it somehow a lack of willpower? Is it somehow a flaw of character? Or is it a disease of the brain? And what I found is before you continue almost any discussion on addiction, you have to sort of get at the answer to that question. And it changes how you perceive addicts. And I think that, as a result, changes the whole treatment process. I mean, if you were to think, Stephanie, of someone that you know that might be an alcoholic or an addict, and you categorize them the same way as you would someone who has heart disease or diabetes, it completely changes the mindset and everything else trickles down from there. I do believe... cutting to the chase, that there is a brain disease component to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that after having studied this for a year and using my background in the neurosciences to sort of teach me.
Well, I understand in the special that you also interview experts at you know places like Hazleton and Promises, because they believe that addiction differs from diseases like, you know, obviously, like you said, heart disease or whatever, because the causes there are psychological and spiritual components.
Yeah, and I think that there is a, you know, maybe the safe answer, and not that I'm necessarily trying to be safe, but I think the right answer is that it's a combination of those things. But I think that the idea that addiction is also a disease of the brain is something that's really starting to catch some tread. And I think that as a result of that thinking, medications, in addition to counseling, in addition to the 12 steps, is going to be something that's more widely offered. Right now, only about 10% of people even know about medications as an option.
Well, that's what you're saying, is that obviously what may work for somebody isn't, you know, not for somebody else, because what drives people to it are can be varied.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also tend to think in black and white terms. Either you're an alcoholic or you're not an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. Either an addict or you're not an addict. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie, as you might imagine, the answer is not that simple. You know, an alcoholic is sort of taught that if they are so much as around alcohol again, it's potentially a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
To make the point that I wanted to make was one of the characters, I interviewed him, a former alcoholic, in a bar where he now works
mm-hmm.
and doesn't drink. And he is someone who also took a medication known as naltrexone. He had been through rehab 5 times. It never worked. He added the medication. This guy can now work in a bar as a former, you know, alcoholic who had significant medical problems as a result of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk is about the findings of Dr. Johnson that you talk about, that
That's right.
Thinks 60% of alcoholism is biologically genetic and feels that alcoholism, even cocaine addiction, can be treated with medication.
That's right. And I think even Dr. Johnson, Bancoli Johnson from Virginia, would agree that we don't know still the sort of chicken and the egg question. Does addiction somehow change the brain? Or are there some people who are just born with the potential to become addicts?
Mm-hmm.
They since they were born, they have something in their brain that's different, and then if something triggers it, whether it be exposure to a particular substance or something else, they suddenly are addicts. And
mm-hmm.
we still don't know the answer to that.
Remember that old commercial, you know, this is your brain
yeah.
on drugs?
Right.
So you explain why the physical attributes of addicts' brains are different. What does that mean, coming from a brain surgeon?
Well, we can peer into the brain much better than we ever could before. Now, you know, here's a couple of examples. A lot of people have heard of the substance known as serotonin,
mm-hmm.
which is a brain transmitter, and it's the transmitter that most antidepressants sort of focus on. If you can keep the serotonin sort of hanging out in the brain longer, it makes people feel better, especially if they're depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people believe that those who are addicts, when they take a substance, their release of serotonin, this feel-good neurotransmitter, is exponentially higher than someone who's not an addict.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel euphoric as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
And when they stop taking it, they have incredible withdrawal symptoms. So you can see the sort of cycle that occurs in someone who's an addict.
Mm-hmm.
We can peer into the brain better and see some of the changes that occur in an addict's brain
mm-hmm.
as a result of that serotonin more closely than ever before. It's not perfect, Stephanie. I'm not going to lie to
right.
you, but we're getting a lot closer to
well,
it.
Well, see, we here on the liberal side of the scale, Doctor, we enjoy nuance. See, if someone were to call Dr. Laura today, it would just be because you're worthless and weak, and that's why you're a drug.
Well,
but when you call Dr. Gupta, you get it's a multi-tiered explanation.
Yes.
You know, I spent a year researching this, and I'm fascinated by it. I have friends who have fallen into the perils of addiction. And, you know, we tend to think of addicts as being a certain type of person. And I can tell you from working on this documentary, you will be blown away by who we follow, because you
right.
look at them and you're not going to, you would never think that that person walking down the street next to you is an addict, a drug
right.
addict. But they
right.
are.
Right.
Mothers, writers, people who in no way fit into the traditional belief system.
Dr. Gupta, you can be honest now. I frequently talk about my box wine consumption on the show. Is this an intervention? Have you been booked by these producers to...
And you thought I was just calling just for the heck of it.
Just
right?
out of the blue.
How is the box wine? Did you have some this morning?
What's your point? Dr. Gupta, I am sorry that you're not going to be Surgeon General. You'd probably have to take a 1,000,000,000% pay cut, wouldn't you?
You know, I can be honest that, you know, it really wasn't about the pay cut for me. You know, I work at a county hospital, Stephanie.
Yeah.
I'm a neurosurgeon. I work at a county hospital. I've chosen not to work in a private hospital.
You're such a braggart. I'm a neurosurgeon. Okay,
I had to
whatever.
Throw that in there, right? By the way. But I've worked at the White House before. I really
right.
believe in the value of public service. I have a daughter. I have 3 kids now, but my youngest is a month old today.
Oh.
And I didn't want to be a commuting dad. And
yeah.
it's one of those weird things, because you get to a point in your life where you say, I don't have to jump at every opportunity. I was flattered. I think that it would have been an incredible position. It will be an incredible position for somebody who takes it. But right now is an important time. I'm 39 years old. I want to spend some time with my family and maybe later in life. A lot of surgeons general are closer to retirement age
mm-hmm.
than I am.
And boy, I tell you what, I bet my friend would have been a lot nicer to you in high school if she'd known that you were putting the president on hold. President Obama, put him on hold. I got better offers.
Tell her I said hello, by the way. I'm gonna shout her out right now. But
did you? Were you actually mistreated in high school? Because I hope that you prank call those people every day.
Yeah.
Oh,
punking him big time.
Yeah.
No question.
Dr. Sanjay Gupta calling. Thank you so much, Doc. Please come back.
Anytime, Stephanie. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes.
Yay.
And it is this Saturday on CNN at 8 and 11 p.m. Eastern and Pacific.
That's right.
Addiction Life on the Edge. How? He was cool.
He is cool. You know what makes him cool? Hmm. He laughs at your jokes.
That's the barometer here.
Exactly.
We don't care what you do as long as you think I'm funny.
And he was all funny right back, so that's good.
Yes. All right, so the right wing is all screaming like little girls.
Yes.
Over this Homeland Security. Oh, in fact, let's play Oliver North on Hannity about the Homeland Security Department report on right-wing extremist groups.
It's a twisted idea. They're saying that right-wing extremism is the number one threat to American safety and security.
Absolutely.
That means that if you're a Hamas organizer or a Hezbollah recruiter or a Somali terrorist trying to recruit suicide terrorists, you're lower on the totem pole in terms of scrutiny than a regular American citizen concerned about these things, to include, outrageously enough, American veterans who they think are a target for being radicalized.
Good.
Yeah, because that's never happened.
No.
And by the way, it doesn't say it's the number one threat. It is one of the threats they are watching. And
they can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Yeah
and particularly because they have turned violent of late.
Yeah. And that makes Oliver North a liar. Boy, he has a history of that, doesn't he?
The last two shooters, that we found specific evidence that they were following a lot of these right-wing lunatics.
Yeah, and of course, Oliver North is involved with the Phoenix program in Vietnam. I think there are a lot of people who consider him a terrorist.
When you have a vice presidential candidate calling the president of the United States, obviously who was a candidate then, a terrorist, and you wonder why there were so many credible threats against him, it's not like there's no line between that. All right. All that being said, oh boy, kids, it's time to dive into another Conspiracy Corner with our friend Jim Warren.
Yes, it's back. Well, we've all heard about the Department of Homeland Security's report on the danger of right-wing extremist groups, and we've been here before. In the early 1960s, the extreme right-wing group, the Minutemen, stockpiled arms against an imagined communist takeover, training for a violent counteraction. One bizarre individual associated with the Minutemen was one David Ferry. Viewers of the film JFK would be excused for thinking the character he played by Joe Pesci was fictional, but he was very real. Speaking to the Minutemen once, he called President Kennedy a communist. Why does that sound familiar? And suggested he should be assassinated. On another occasion, he outlined how it should be done. Triangulation, multiple shooters, two to distract, one to kill, one to be picked up as a patsy. That sounds familiar. He was close to mafia boss Carlos Marcello, or Marcello, depending on who you talk to, who had been hounded by Attorney General Robert Kennedy. He vowed to get him by taking out his brother, the president, saying, if you want to stop the dog's tail from wagging, you don't chop off the tail, you chop off the head. The dog dies, tail and all. Ferry was with him in New Orleans when the news came of the president's assassination. Marcello told him Bobby Kennedy's just another lawyer now. 5 years later, Bobby would suffer the same fate as his brother. Another associate of David Ferry was one Lee Harvey Oswald. You must have heard of him. Another right-wing nut job who predicted JFK's demise was Joseph Adams Miltier.
Oh.
He was a white supremacist. He once confided to an undercover Miami police informant that JFK was to be shot from an office building with a high-powered rifle and that he would pick somebody up to take the fall. He was referring to a plot in Tampa, which was thwarted due to the information supplied by the informant. Sadly, such was not the case in Dallas 4 days later. Researchers later spotted Miltier in a photograph taken in Dallas on the day of the assassination, and he called that informant saying, see, I told you. Recently declassified FBI files from 1968 revealed that Joseph Miltier, the same guy, conspired with other right-wing extremists and racists and white supremacists in Atlanta to fund the assassination of Martin Luther King. And they coordinated with the mafia, there they are again, to broker the deal. Now, Sean Hannity may joke about the DHS pursuit of right-wing extremist groups, but I'm quite sure the Secret Service is taking it seriously. The day after the Obama election, one prominent white supremacist website acquired some 2,000 new members, and presumably they're armed. I don't like where this is heading.
No.
That was the best Conspiracy Corner ever.
You say that every time, but that was pretty
damn
good. I
say it about every special comment on Keith Olbermann, too, but this time I meant it.
Okay, yeah.
All right.
It's like the next time you offer me sexual favors. No, this time I mean it.
This time I mean it, and that's what I'm doing during
right,
the commercial break.
And then I do something you want me to do for you, and then, oh, I fell for it again!
This time I mean it, and we'll tell you how that goes. Jim and I doing the horizontal bop during the commercial break.
Oh, God, you're going to make me watch, aren't
right
you?
Right after this. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie
Miller
Show.
The boys in the room. We can't do that.
Holy crap!
We'll have more on these new developments after this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. President Obama in Mexico. Representative Michael Honda on the Celebrity Hotline in just a few minutes to talk about immigration reform and much more. Let's go to Dave in Chicago on the torture memos. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Steph and Mooks.
Good morning.
Just to reiterate the caller a while back, not only does torture not work, but it is documented torture causes the torturer's psychological and emotional harm. I taught Holocaust for many years, and in the beginning, the Nazis sent out mobile killing squads, and these guys came back nuts, and that's when they moved to concentration camps and moving people to places to kill them because they could not afford to have the cost on their soldiers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. Matt in Michigan on the same topic. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, good morning, Stephanie. I think it's obvious why Obama doesn't want to pursue investigations against the lower-level CIA officials. Because once he does that, the situation's going to get out of control, and it's going to lead straight to the Bush White House. And not only are those things going to be exposed, but the complicity of Nancy Pelosi and people like Jane Harmon are also going to be exposed, too. And it's
well,
really pathetic watching
Wait. Let's back up. I agree that Congress did not, you know, do the oversight they should have, but I don't think we know to what extent they're complicit, do you?
What are you talking about? You know,
what are you talking about?
Yeah. She went down there, she investigated what was going on in Guantanamo, and she was privy to a lot of the secret information. That's documented. You brag about not doing your homework, and I think this is just a shining example.
No, that's not true. Look, if you know exactly how complicit Nancy Pelosi is, then you're right. You've done more show prep today than I did, because I don't know that. You know, it's like, she went down there? Well, don't you think they might have paused the torture slightly while Nancy Pelosi was there?
Duh. Oh, and by the way, there are now former Bush advisors going on TV saying, this handcuffs future administrations releasing this memo. Mm-hmm. Fran Townsend is screaming on CNN
ones.
This morning.
Yeah, illegal ones, sure.
Yeah.
That should be handcuffed.
Exactly.
Bob in Kansas City on torture. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing? This is something that we even do to our own troops in training. You know, have you ever heard of SEER school?
I've what?
Right, that's the end.
SEER school.
Where
survival.
They train them how to survive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole resistance part of it is they put you in a POW camp. Everything that you're talking about.
Right. It still doesn't make it right. I understand we train our own troops because you don't know what they're going to go through either.
Well, I mean, I've been to SEER school. I don't consider.
Yeah. It's very different than what you do to your enemies, though.
Well, right. Because you know you're not going to die. You know
right.
You're in training.
Yeah.
That's
well,
the whole point. Is
that.
Yes, exactly.
And
all right.
Again, a lot of these people who were picked up were innocent, completely innocent. And they were tortured and kept in prison for years.
In your name, and using these techniques, if you read the memo. All right. Representative Michael Honda, Democrat of the great state of California, on immigration reform and what the president is doing in Mexico. 28 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are too cute.
Perhaps. What's your point? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. President Obama, of course, in Mexico to talk about immigration reform, among other things. The president of Mexico yesterday.
Mr. President, let's build a new era. Yes, we can. Una vez más. Bienvenido a México.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Sí. All right. If only there was somebody doing something about immigration reform that could talk. Yes, Chris, who is it?
Representative Mike Honda of California.
That he's our guy. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. Is this Stephanie?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm good. Did you think you would have to go through more screeners to get to me?
Who knows, man? It's just like the Capitol building.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk to you because this Saturday you're hosting a San Jose's Faith-Based Communities in a National Effort spanning 20 major cities to document immigrant testimonies across the nation and set the stage for President Obama's comprehensive immigration reform agenda. What do you hope to accomplish with that?
Well, first of all, this will be probably the 18th city that this has been done, and this will be the first time that we'll be focusing on primarily Asian Americans and Asians, Asian population. In the past 17 cities, we've only had one testimony from a Hmong family in Milwaukee, so I think that this will be very important for people to understand and hear from the Asian community.
Well, you know, and Representative Honda, I don't know if many people know this about you, but you spent time in an internment camp in Colorado in your youth.
Yeah, I'm that old.
That's not why I brought it up.
But,
yeah. But you made, you know, you made a good point recently. You said, you know, immigrant contributions have always driven America's growth, and today's economy presents no different a picture. Because, as you know, on the right, a lot of people like to sort of gin up a lot of racist frenzy if people don't have jobs or you know, times are bad for them. It's blame someone else, right?
Yes, and that's usually the tactic when the economy's bad and people want to blame somebody. Yeah, that's how, you know, this country was able to put Japanese Americans into camp in 1942. So it's a tried and true tactic of those who trying to distract this country's attention away from the real problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we also have a lot of friends on the right that talk about family values. You recently said reuniting immigrant families will strengthen the American economy by increasing our tax base, decreasing the cost of social safety nets, keeping money in the U.S. that would otherwise be sent abroad to loved ones. Hate and xenophobia are keeping us from doing what's right for our nation. It's time to enact immigration reform that makes sense for families and for our country. That is very well said.
Well, thank you. But it's the truth when one studies the issue and you come to that conclusion all the time.
What do you anticipate in terms of the immigration debate? Because, you know, it gets very heated, it gets very emotional, and you got, like I say, a lot of our friends on the right, on Fox News and elsewhere, just really, you know, to me, whipping up what is essentially a racist frenzy.
Yeah, I think that we can expect to have that kind of a rhetoric on the other side. But I think that if we're calm and we just keep speaking to the issue and, you know, remain logical, people over time will just listen and, you know, they'll get it. And, you know, even though times are hard and people are afraid and anxious for their own selves and their own families.
Right.
Usually a good you know, good thinking prevails.
Right. Well, Congressman Honda, it seems to me like one of the, you know, the important players in this is going to be John McCain, who, as you know, sponsored the Kennedy-McCain Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill and then seemed to back off that during the campaign. You know, where are people like him going to come down on this?
Well, we'll make every effort to remind him and his colleagues that were with him at that point to that fact that at one time, this is your position, and what has changed since then, and you know, and bring them back to their own logic that they had when they made.
Before they were trying to get elected and gin up their crazy base.
Well, you said that.
The record will show you chuckled warmly.
It's a chuckle of recognition.
Yes, that's it.
Congressman Honda, how soon are we going to, is this going to happen, immigration reform? I mean, when is this all going to, is the bill going to come forward, do you think?
I think it's going to come this year. You know, when President Obama just visited Mexico and to, you know, extend our arm of friendship, he mentioned and reiterated to Mexico and to the president there of his commitment to a comprehensive immigration reform. So I sense that it's going to be this year, and I think that this is a good time to move forward before the next election cycle.
Well, exactly. I was just going to say, you know, maybe since it's not right next to an election, we'll have some actual, you know, something actual happen. Because, you know, to me, the last time when nothing passed, well, you just did nothing about all the illegal, all the people that they're screaming about illegal immigrants here, you did nothing about them. You just gave them amnesty by doing nothing about this. So it seems like doing something would be better than nothing, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think
when we talk about amnesty, I think that we need to remember that when Reagan was president, he did sign an immigration bill that legalized everyone who were undocumented. It was amnesty. And
well,
this time around, we're looking at legalization and a pathway to that so that everybody...
Thank you. That's, you know, Congressman, that's such a good point because, as you know, I mean, they couldn't have mentioned Reagan anymore during this last Republican presidential primary, and now they just had these, you know, tea parties around the country, and they're protesting. They're paying less tax than they paid under their hero, Ronald Reagan. So you're right. And they completely ignore what he did on immigration. So I think you're right. It's time to get back to common sense.
I think that's the bottom line. And I think that's what this country's known for, is its common sense.
That's right. And thank God you discarded yours to come on the show this morning. I thank you for joining us. Please come back anytime and update us on what's happening on immigration reform, all right?
Sure, and it's been a real pleasure.
You too. Congressman Michael Honda from the great state of California.
Yay!
All right. Oh, boy. Better that'll end up on Newsbusters. All right.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to Sharon in Tucson on Torture. Hi, Sharon. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. I'm just wondering if there is anyone advocating for Lindy England and Charles Greener and those soldiers who claimed they were following orders and were convicted of being renegades and not following procedures and things. These people are rotting in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Their sentences should be, at the very least, commuted.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. It does create a double standard. You're right. This is a pretty sticky legal issue all the way around. So, good point. Let's go to Richard in Alabama. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. I was in the U.S. Army JAG Corps for 5 years. And I used to give training to soldiers on the law of war and specifically detainee operations. And one of the things that I was taught as a trainer to train the soldiers on was the main reason why, well, not the main reason, but one of the big reasons why we don't torture is that an enemy who knows he'll be treated with dignity and respect is more likely to surrender rather than fight you to the death.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And no, that's another good point. Let's go to Jeff in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, I love your guys' hopefulness in regards to this whole torture thing, but when is hopefulness and wishful thinking ever got a politician to do what's just and what's difficult without further problems?
Yeah, but President Obama has a pretty good record of rope-a-dope, if you've been paying attention,
yeah.
So I just would wait a minute is all I'm saying.
Well, I understand that, but we have to keep the pressure up. I mean,
yep.
We can't just sit back and say, hey, this is okay, because, you know, then it'll just disappear and nothing will get done.
I agree. That's why you call talk radio shows to bitch. Betty in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Nothing gets something done faster. Hi, Betty.
Hey, Stephanie. Love you guys. Y'all.
Thank you.
You drink far too much box wine. You're it, all of you.
Oh, shush. Who are you?
No,
Dr. Gupta?
I drink wine from a bottle.
Yeah, only Stephanie drinks the box wine. The rest of us drink the good stuff.
In all seriousness, I don't know why anybody's too surprised about this this stance on the torture, and I'll tell you why. Because in the last month, it's been announced that Obama and his administration have signed on to continue the Bush policy of rendition. He has also signed on to deny legal representation to those who are detained at Bagram Air Force Base. So to me, that's like moving Guantanamo to Bagram. And you folks invoke now and then Amy Goodman's name, and I know that you have respect for her.
Yeah, I had her on right after she was arrested in Minneapolis. Yeah.
I personally think she's an icon in the journalistic world. I think the world of the woman. She had on just in the past couple of days a young man videotaped from Guantanamo who announced that since Obama's been in office, he's seen no change other than the treatment to get worse down there. Now, that came out of her program just in the last 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I have tremendous concern. I voted for Obama, but I am very, very disappointed in what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And your comment, please.
Well,
I love you guys.
Oh, wait, I'll listen off air. I'll no further questions. Okay. I will tell you what I think about that when we return. And how teasy I am.
You're just teasy McTeasenheimer this morning.
She's been waiting by the radio, just like in the olden
Dita
times.
Von Tees.
She's going to gather the whole family around the old-time radio. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of
low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
This is La Vida Loca? Oh, wow.
It is the...
I expected a little more loco than this.
Yeah, this isn't terribly loca.
This is it? This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 48 minutes after the hour, 1-800.
Four in the morning. Whee!
Step 1-2, the phone number, toll free from
anywhere. What are you talking about 4 in the morning? I get up at 3 in the morning.
Well, actually, I got up at 3 this morning.
Okay.
Jim Ward has been reading our emails, and an edition of When Liberals Think It's Okay to Use the N-Word.
Yeah.
Apparently, when they disagree with the president on prosecuting... CIA agents over the torture.
It's never okay.
You call them.
Okay. Yeah, our caller asked what I thought of Amy Goodman reporting that somebody said that things have not changed yet at Gitmo. Here's what I think. It takes a long time to turn around the ship of state, and I think Barack Obama is doing it, and I'm willing to give him a chance. We haven't even reached 100 days yet.
Yeah.
So I can't report on Amy Goodman's report on whether it's true. I know that the president has said he has stopped all these techniques. He is closing Gitmo, which you can't do overnight, so I'm willing to give it time. As you know, I will turn. I've done this to you, Chris. I'll turn like a junkyard dog.
Yeah.
If I lose patience.
Yeah, I know.
However, from one commercial break to the next, you never. I'm so erratic. You'll never know what I think of you.
You're like a bumper car.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Devron in Seattle on immigration and the president talking about that in Mexico. Hello, Devron.
Good morning, Mama. Yeah, my son is starting to speak up in the background. I was going
to
say...
Tell him to shut his pie hole. Daddy's on a big, important radio show.
Well, we love the children, so we're giving them a break.
All right.
I was going to say, I would like to see less restrictions on traveling to Mexico or Canada. I mean, you know, state identification should be enough. I don't think we need passports. And one quick note, Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mama, did you know there's mutual funds in them Tar Heels?
Okay. All right, honey. Thank you for that.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't think he's had a conversation with an adult in quite some time.
That
happens to parents.
Yes.
That,
I think he's referencing your gold.
Oh, come on. You come in every day talking to me like I'm Max, so.
Jan in Lansing, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on immigration. Hello, Jan.
Hello, Stephanie.
Go ahead.
My question about it is, not that I'm saying you're wrong or you're right or whatever.
I'm right. Let's just start with that.
Okay.
Normally I'm right.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. But just because I have a differing opinion of you doesn't make me a racist.
I didn't say anyone that has a differing opinion on immigration is racist. I'm saying some on the right are absolutely racist.
Because they don't want immigrants to come into our country?
No.
No.
Because they're racist.
No, because they're racist.
Because they're racist.
Okay,
oh, yeah, no, people like you aren't racist, but there are some racist people.
No, I understand.
Who are immigration.
I'm not denying that.
People can have honest differences.
To me,
right.
Like what you were saying was a very broad, you know, that if you don't agree with our policy on
right. Well, you know what, Jen, Jen, I don't know if you saw Keith Olbermann played some video last night at one of these tea parties, and the guy was... absolutely racist, and I'm not saying everyone that disagrees with President Obama is, of course not, but these kind of things, like these tea parties, they attracted people that are racist about the president, about immigration, it's all right.
Yeah, it was sort of whack job central. It was
everyone
crawling out of their mom's basement to come scream about something.
Well, and actually, and it proves the Homeland Security Department's report on... on right-wing groups. If you miss Conspiracy Corner, you must go to StephanieMiller.com after the show and listen as to why they should be concerned about these radical right-wing groups. The top Republican on the House committee, Pete Hoekstra from Michigan, has asked the Director of National Intelligence to investigate the Homeland Security report.
We're investigating Homeland Security now because they might be communists.
For unsubstantiated conclusions and political bias.
Oh, my God.
By the way, the department's definition of left-wing extremism in the same March 26 report includes a reference to violence, stating these groups that embrace anti-capitalist, communist, or socialist beliefs seek to bring about change through violent revolution rather than through established political processes. And they're also monitoring those people.
Yeah.
Jane Harmon said the latest report had turned into a political football. She said it could have been written more artfully, but added that it was a well-intended effort to describe to law enforcement what things to look for. If the result is to dumb down intelligence products that could prevent the next attack on the homeland, well, we will all lose. That's what I said yesterday.
Exactly.
I don't know about you. I want all violent extremists monitored in this country. Foreign, domestic, right-wing, left-wing. Colonel Ralph Peters, the foxpert on O'Reilly, would like Jenna Napolitano fired over this.
Look at Obama's track record. Bill Ayers. The Reverend
Shut up.
Napolitano, look, Jenna Napolitano may even mean well. I'm sure she does.
I think she does.
Bill, do you feel safe with that woman as head of the Department of Homeland Security?
Yes.
Hell of a lot.
Very much so.
Yes.
Hell of a lot. Skeletor.
Another.
Or even Tom Ridge. He was just an absolute doughball in that position when we needed someone strong the most.
Does this seem a borderline sexist? The aforementioned Colonel Ralph Peters, the foxpert?
Actually, he's only Lieutenant Colonel, the same rank as Rob Riggle.
Rob Riggle.
Our guest from yesterday.
I'd trust Rob Riggle over.
She said she needs to be fired for her bigoted attitudes toward our military veterans, then give her a job at the International House of Pancakes because she's good with waffles.
What? Okay, Rob Riggle is funnier than Colonel Ralph Peters.
What the...
Okay. It's racist, the report, he writes, because, you know, there's no mention of minority violence, no mention of Muslim violence, of Islamist violence. It's all basically, if you read it, you get the message that white Christians are a threat to the country. Yes, some
of them,
just
some
like
of
some
them
Muslims are.
Are
probably a threat. This report wasn't specifically about Muslims. It was about this specific threat that they're monitoring.
There are many groups of whom members may be a threat to America.
This was one
writes,
of the groups.
Yes.
And then he writes, oh, by the way,
it's a big job,
look
Homeland
out,
Security.
Look out for those vets because Hollywood and Harvard warned us that they'll come in, they'll move next door, and they'll kill you and hurt your child.
This Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters guy, he's a danger to America.
Yeah. He shouldn't be allowed to play with forks, let alone firearms.
Okay. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus on the tea parties. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, how are you?
Good, honey. Go ahead.
I think let's get to the bottom line of a tea party. A lot of those people are just mad a black man's president.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that was, you know, some of the footage that came out. And again, not all of them. But, you know, they make it sound like it's something crazy that, you know, pro-lifers might get violent.
Huh. When has that ever happened?
It's like, hello? Yeah. Have you're pretending like you've never heard of abortion clinic bombings or abortion doctors being killed?
But yes. Yeah, it was from one of those people.
Thank you. He specifically hated gay abortions, of which there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Figure that one out.
Mm-hmm. Get back to us. Jeff in Orange County on torture. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, actually, his name was Eric Rudolph, the guy you're searching for.
Yes, he was mad about gay nightclubs and abortion clinics in Atlanta.
And then shuttled off to prison to preach the gospel of bombing abortion clinics to the rest of the Christian right.
Yeah.
But back on the issue of not prosecuting the CIA torturers, don't we have two people sitting in prison for the same thing? Lindsey England and Charles Granger?
Someone else brought that up.
Following orders?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, and I'm going to comment on Obama.
Well, but see, you know, Jeff, here's what I don't, you know, what I was saying. The Bush administration clearly did that as an effort to make sure it didn't go any higher, whereas the Obama administration may be doing the opposite, I'd be saying.
Bad apples, some low-level bad apples, you know, even though, again, they were just following orders. What is the excuse now? Which is the excuse now? I'd like to point out to President Obama, as he says, my sense is to look towards the future because all of this took place in the past. All crimes took place in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You don't see a lot of trials for things that may happen in the future. Yeah.
Unless, you know, it's that movie Minority Report.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Good reference. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You never saw that movie, did you?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
I did indeed.
Okay.
That's good.
Snakes on a Plane!
Another movie!
I don't know if they're left wing or right wing, but we'll find out in Tinsel Talk. All of that. Fran Drescher on the Celebrity Hotline and much more. 57 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well, I'm walking on sunshine. Well, and I feel good.
Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. What you don't know about cancer prevention can be devastating. We are going to talk to Fran Drescher coming up on the Celebrity Hotline about that and whether she's going to run for office and much more. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We have a jam-packed hour coming up. Will President Obama meet with Hugo Chavez, and will Bill O'Reilly's head explode? We have that. We have the right-wingers whining about their teabagging. Once again, and speaking of teabagging in polls, bad news for Norm Coleman in Minnesota. A new poll shows that Minnesotans want him to vy now. Vy. Over 60% think he should concede now. Give it up, Norm.
A 3-judge panel confirmed Monday night that Democrat Al Franken did indeed get more votes in the 2008 Minnesota Senate race.
What does that mean?
It's time for Mr. Coleman to step aside.
I don't know what that means.
Norm. Coleman.
That thing sucks.
Say it! Norm. Coleman.
Say it!
Senator Al Franken.
I would call on Senator Coleman to allow me to get to work for the people of Minnesota as soon as possible.
Because I'm good enough,
Norm.
I'm smart enough,
Coleman.
And doggone it,
Minnesota
people like me.
Thank you, Shano. All right, Bob from Akron, Ohio, the smartest boy in class this morning, and a fine American, writes, "Hi, Steph. One of your recent callers trotted out the tired old right-wing canard that Nancy Pelosi and other high-ranking Democrats were briefed on Bush's illegal behaviors, did nothing, and therefore equally complicit. Oh, that's the caller that said I was unprepared."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which may be true, but on that particular subject, I was not. Ha-ha.
But you're drunk.
Sure. Doesn't mean I don't know what I'm saying. Bob writes, "Bull. First, we don't know exactly what Pelosi was briefed on." That's what I said. "We're briefed on, and more likely they can't say without violating national security. We do know that high-ranking Democrats were often shown different material than the Bush administration had. Second, just because Pelosi or others might have known about something doesn't mean they were in a position to do something about it. Reference back to Jay Rockefeller's letter to Dick Cheney protesting warrantless wiretapping. Rockefeller sent the letter and locked a copy in his safe, but that was all he could do. He literally could tell no one else without violating national security." Huh. Thank you. Bob, you know, Akron, the smartest one. Bob came prepared, just like Mama today.
No, Bob came prepared. You came drunk.
Whatever. I'm drunk and prepared.
Okay.
Okay, and by the way, your intervention with Dr. Sanjay Gupta didn't work, so there.
It didn't take?
If you missed that interview, that'll be up on StephanieMiller.com after the show. He is delightful. All right, Julie in Seattle sent an article for you two. Apparently, experts say sucking up by workers who fret about keeping their jobs in tough economic times is on the rise. Why didn't you two get the memo?
Yes, Ms. Miller.
Why didn't you get the
memo?
No!
No, Stephania! No!
Steph, wow, who knew? Some experts believe sucking up to the boss may help you keep your job in hard times. Perhaps if they were informed of this breaking news, your mooks might give you the respect you deserve, the respect you're entitled to.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
Yeah.
Why can't you treat me like I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Oh, we do that.
Because I am not one of your fans!
All right. Here's one thing you can do. When the guy that owns the show succeeds in killing me for the life insurance money, you can at least not screw up my funeral. Here's what I want.
What do you want?
TV theme songs are more popular than hymns at funerals in the UK now.
It's a story.
A lovely lady.
No,
that the Benny you. Hill theme and Monty Python's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life are among the most requested tunes.
Always look on the bright side. That's a good one. I like
British
that.
Funerals. A survey. I think Jim wants that one.
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
And put him in clown shoes. So you can't close the coffin.
I have to undercrank the procession so it goes by really fast, you know.
A survey of 30,000 funerals conducted last year found that hymns were now the most popular request at only 35% of services, being outweighed by TV theme songs. I don't want the Brady Bunch. Here's what I want. I want a whoopee cushion in the coffin, and I want this plate in my funeral. That's what I want.
Okay, it's got a gospel beat, and
And I want Wheezy there.
I don't
think Wheezy is with us anymore.
Oh, dear. She already moved on up. See?
I think she has.
All right. Thank you. Make a note of it. All right. And Julie, the official Beaver News reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show with the Beaver Stack for today. The headline is Busy Beaver Near Manhole.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
It's new lodging at City Zoo. Termite the beaver might have lost his life Wednesday if it hadn't been for a few strokes. Of good luck. Of good luck. Luck. Jeff Wells, Vice President of Advanced Termite and Pest Control, received a call from a friend who saw a distressed beaver. You know, you would stop, wouldn't you, Jim?
Sure.
When she was driving her daughter to daycare. When Wells arrived, he found Termite, who's about a year old, near the manhole cover. Police were keeping students away from the animal, because you got to keep the kids away from distressed beaver. They don't need to see that. We have another beaver down there, I'm sure, Wells said, of the manhole, to which Termite was so attracted. The zoo director said the beaver looked healthy at first glance, but they had to test it.
For rabies.
Yes, and vaccines and stuff like
beavers
that.
Beavers can have rabies?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Boy, howdy.
I guess.
Termite sniffed the bowl of carrots once in his new home and other fruits and vegetables. The zoo director said carrots are popular with beavers.
I bet.
And cucumbers, probably, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And bananas.
And popsicles. Gourds.
No, that's cold. A significant shrinkage.
Yeah.
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Donald Trump, be bold and buy real estate now. Donald Trump visited my buddy, my pal Larry King, to tout his new book. In a wide-ranging interview, he shared his thoughts on how to prosper in this economy. He said, it's a time for smart people. This is a time for entrepreneurial people. It's a great time for people like me and maybe people like you, Larry, because I know you're a great investor. Well, I know he invests in young talent like
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Have you received that call yet of when he needs you to fill in for him?
I have not, but I'm waiting by the phone just like I did in high school. All right, we have the Donald Trump.
Let it please be him. Oh, dear God, it must be him.
Does Larry need me?
It must be him.
All right.
I learned the truth at 17.
We have Donald on this. Yep.
I'll be honest. Everything I've been involved in lately has turned craptastic. I've taken huge losses in real estate.
Huge.
There's been a huge drop in prices everywhere. Huge.
Huge.
But there's always an opportunity for an entrepreneur to make some money. That's why I'm recommending that anyone with any cojones jump into the real estate market now. And I have just the property for you. My Trump Tower Casino in Vegas is almost guaranteed to bring you huge returns on your investment.
Huge!
I'm so sick of it, I'll let it go for a song and a couple of secondhand skull markings. You'll get it way cheap, but there are some conditions. The new owners are responsible for clearing the property of squatters. That may take a while, as all the gambling losers and real estate developers have crawled into the building and set up housekeeping. But don't worry. The fire sprinkler system is so shoddy, all you have to do is open it up once and every valve will blow, sluicing the freeloaders out onto the street. The trick is to do it with the main power turned off, because the wiring's so bad it'll turn the water into a death trap. Come to think of it, that's one way to take care of the human vermin problem permanently. Just be sure to grease the palms of the insurance inspectors, or the knock on your door may not be someone coming to tell you you're fired. More like you're under arrest. But don't let these little problems deter you or get in your way. You got your chance staring you in the face. It's a huge opportunity.
Huge.
Take advantage of it, or I'm coming to your house to tell you you're a huge pansy.
Huge.
You're doing it in your car. You know you are.
Huge.
It's just like when we say bark, bark.
Bark, 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 bark.
You know you repeated it.
Bark, bark,
bark, bark,
bark, bark.
Okay, and finally, snakes on a plane. Oh, not again. Is this in the Homeland Security report? A Qantas airliner was grounded after four snakes went missing from the cargo hold on a passenger flight. 12 baby pythons, oh, this is like a math question, 12 baby pythons were packed into the plane. And when it arrived, there were only 8.
So if a 747 is driving,
flying to
Sydney,
flying from Sydney to Christchurch,
and there were 7.
And there were four snakes in
Our people called in Reptile Expert, and there was a suggestion that some of the baby pythons had eaten the other pythons, because apparently it's not uncommon for baby pythons to eat each other.
They were in the same crate?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't seem wise Qantas, now, does it?
But Qantas weighed the remaining snakes to determine if they were heavier, but they were not. Our only conclusion we could draw is that four of them had broken free of the packaging. We have a, is it a Qantas spokesman?
It's the pilot.
It's the pilot.
G'day. Well, thank you for choosing Qantas Airlines. This is your captain, Reg Grundy. And as you know, Qantas is the only international airline with a perfect safety record. Oh, my God, what was that? We're all going to die! Kidding. We do like to have fun here in the cockpit. Where was I? Oh, yes. We'll be cruising at an altitude of 9,000 metres. Should we experience a change in cabin pressure, maybe snakes will drop through the overhead compartment. If you're travelling with a child... Did I say snakes? I meant to say oxygen masks. Although, truth be told, it appears some genius decided to pack 12 baby snakes in a polystyrene box with holes punched in it. Holes conveniently the right size for 12 baby snakes to escape. So, if your in-flight meal bites you back, I reckon they'll be mad as a cut snake, but don't say I didn't warn you. Get these mother snakes off my mother plane! I've always wanted to say that. Flight attendants, prepare the cabin for... Oh, my God, what was that? Kidding.
They're jokers, the Qantas pilots. That's all for Stencil Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward Falderall, there's a banner ad.
Yeah,
Kyle ad.
Get it straight, woman.
Stephanie Miller.
What's your problem?
I love it when you call me a woman. Please, call me Jiggles.
Here
won't
you roar.
I brought you your pad. Now call me by my proper name.
Hey, Jiggles, grab a pad and back that gorgeous butt in here.
Oh, you get away.
Don't act like you don't like it.
All right. Jim is the official sexual harasser of the Stephanie Miller Show. You are the official Twitterer, Chris.
Well, I Twitter for the show.
Yes.
I'm doing your promotion
What's
for you.
What's
the
point of doing anything if it's not for me?
Yes.
Ashton Kutcher has become the first member of Twitter to have over 1 million followers. How many people are following you, Chris?
Over 600.
Okay. Yeah, surrounded by his wife, Demi Moore, Soleil Moonfry.
Really? Punky Brewster?
I've worked with Punky Brewster.
And Sean Diddy Combs. The star officially crossed the 1 million mark, beating out rival CNN Breaking News shortly after 11 p.m. Pacific time.
So, why are so many people following Soleil Moonfry?
I don't know why she was... No, she was just there celebrating with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what Punky Brewster had to do with any of it.
Punky Boobster. She called herself Punky Boobster when they...
Did she?
No, she had
she does have a ginormous rack.
She had to get them reduced, actually,
and
because it was hurting her back.
They're still spectacular.
Are they?
Tony from New York is able to call me because an illegal immigrant took his job. Hello, Tony.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good.
You're a piece of estrogen. You are... Look, I have to just comment. Of course, I love listening to your show, but
Thank
I have
you.
To comment on the illegal problem coming up from Mexico. I think you're missing the point. It's not that... Well, I could speak for myself. It's not that we have a problem with Mexicans or any other nationality. It's the fact that you have people here illegally taking jobs away from people who are here legally, and I think that's the issue.
Well, look, nobody is for illegal immigration, right? But we have a giant problem that we have to figure out what to do with, don't you think?
Absolutely. Which
so
is what we should,
that's why I think we need comprehensive immigration reform. I just think it's a, you know, we cannot round them all up and take them back or whatever, you know, people think the actual solution is. So anyway, I hope you get a job soon so you don't have time to call talk radio shows. 20 minutes after the hour.
You were mean to him.
Madonna has found Jesus again. I'll tell you what that means when we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Cheryl in Columbus on the immigration debate with the president in Mexico right now. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi, Steph. Hey, listen.
Well, I was going to comment on the angry beavers and the pythons eating pythons, which remind me of Gay Bar in Toledo. But anyway.
But that's a story for another day. All right, go ahead.
You got it. Hey, listen, for 20 years I've worked for an Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, and I want to dispel the notion that illegal aliens or immigrants can come in here and get food stamps and all this other happy stuff. During one of your commercial breaks, I flipped over and listened to the idiot show, and this guy was on there ranting and raving about how these aliens or immigrants are taking away these jobs. Well, I'm familiar with a county here in Ohio where immigrants come in and they pick tomatoes, and I know no white-skinned American is going to go out there and pick the tomatoes for the price that they get paid.
Yep.
And they may, you know, if they're illegal, they're not getting food stamps.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Anybody can call. Anybody can call any welfare department in the state, in the country, and they're going to get told illegal aliens do not get benefits.
There you go. Thank you, honey. All right. Madonna has found Jesus again.
But only if he wears a Kabbalah ribbon.
By that, we mean the 22-year-old Brazilian.
Oh, Jesus Luz.
Jesus Luz. They just had a dinner date in New York with a few friends. Hmm. Look, if that slag can get a 22-year-old Brazilian model.
Hi, I'm Madonna.
Isn't there a Steph-a-date section on the website, for God's sakes? Let's have a contest to get me a 22-year-old Brazilian model.
Well, yes. Well, not Steph-a-date is not for you. It's
what?
For
Why
single
not?
Stephanie Miller listeners.
Oh. Why is there anything on StephanieMiller.com that's not about
Stephanie Miller?
Because you never go to your own website.
Sure, I do. Oh, we have fabulous...
You don't know how the website works.
We have fabulous new photos that will be going up all over the Stephanie Miller website soon. Mama had a photo shoot.
Oh, so we're not using those 20-year-old photos anymore.
Shush!
Wow, you're going to show your real age?
Yeah, but we used Vaseline on the lens, and that same one that Sybil Shepherd used in Moonlighting.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz Taylor used to shoot those perfume commercials at, like, a very wide angle and a lot of, gauze over the camera.
Yeah, uh-huh. Cheesecloth.
Mm-hmm. I've always depended on the kindness of
photographers.
And makeup artists.
and lighting directors.
Here's another edition of Mama Was Right. Hulk Hogan is starting to regret those OJ comments.
Yeah, as well he should.
Thanks to his own divorce, Hulk Hogan is starting to regret revealing in a Rolling Stone interview he understood why OJ killed Nicole. And thought about doing the same thing to his ex-wife and her 19-year-old boyfriend.
Well.
And his lawyers have, for some reason, taken an interest in these comments. They said, "We've always maintained the fear Linda has had to live with comes from a rage and instability much too often associated with pro wrestlers. Linda and her family are taking these recent homicidal comments seriously." He tried to defend himself. He said, "I didn't do the O.J. Simpson thing. I took the high road."
What? Yeah, good for you.
If you don't kill her automatically, that's the
high
road.
Oh, that's the high road. Okay, thanks.
Yes.
Look how not dead she is. See? Everything's fine.
All right. 28 minutes after the hour. Cancer schmancer. See, that would be wildly politically incorrect if Fran Drescher hadn't said
it right.
First. And she'll say it next when we talk around the Celebrity Hotline. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Broads don't belong in broadcasting? Is that the kind of professional courtesy you teach your news department?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Did you know this year alone nearly 69,000 women will lose their lives to a women's cancer? If only there was somebody doing something. Who is it, Chris?
The founder of Cancer Schmancer, Fran Drescher.
I love Fran Drescher so much. Good morning, Fran Drescher.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm good, honey. I haven't seen you since we kissed and made up after the Democratic primary. We went a few rounds on Larry King, didn't we?
Yes, we did. We did. But it's all good.
It's all good now.
All's well that ends well.
I admired how hard you fought for Hillary, and I especially when you spoke Spanish on Larry King.
Oh, I know. And
yes.
She's doing a good job as now our Secretary of State, isn't she?
Yeah, she is, absolutely.
She's my new boss, you know, because I'm a diplomat for the State Department.
I heard that. I heard.
No.
Listen, the thing I've heard recently that I loved is that you talked about taking her seat. And are you or are you not going to run for office at some point?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. I mean, I did throw my hat in the ring for consideration from Governor Patterson. Of course, he didn't pick me, but I do think that I would be great for the state of New York, and I am a New Yorker. I did come up through the public school system, and if I want to do it, you know, I'm thinking about it now. I'm giving myself until the summer to decide if I want to run in 2010 or 2012, or... if I decide that I can use my visibility and celebrity and activism and advocacy work to reach the people more effectively outside of the congressional halls. And
right.
That's the thing, you know, I mean, Al Gore may, you know, have figured it out. And,
right.
So,
right.
I have a very clear and loud, you know, goal and vision and mission. And
right.
So, well, I got to think.
I think the most important consideration is that if you do announce it, you announce it on the Stephanie Miller Show so that it will be good for me as well.
Okay,
so that I can
course.
Get some publicity
well,
off
know,
of you.
I mean, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Yeah. Now, listen, you have done such amazing work on behalf of, with the Cancer Schmancer Foundation. We got a big thing coming up here that I've done many times, and that's the Revlon Run Walk coming up in L.A. in New York, right?
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I will be at both of them. Cancer Schmancer, I'm proud to say, is one of the recipients of the monies raised by the Revlon Run Walk, and I would love it if everybody that registered joined the Cancer Schmancer team and walked with me, Franny D.
Oh, that would be great. Because I know they've raised over $50 million over the years, these Revlon One walks. Now, Saturday, May 9th, Mother's Day weekend at L.A. Memorial Coliseum here in L.A., right?
Yes, and it's a wonderful day, and it's great energy, and it really makes you feel good. And it's not doesn't even feel like it's a long walk. There's the stream of people and the energy. It really goes fast, and it's very inspiring, and they have it really well organized, and it's a very worthwhile.
I did it here one year with Cindy Crawford, which was very motivating because I wasn't going to run, but then I felt so fat when I was next to her that I ran the whole way.
I'll be the one walking if you want to walk with me and the Cancer Schmancer team. We'll give you a T-shirt, and it's all good. They can register from cancerschmancer.org and go right to the Cancer Schmancer team to register. Or they can go on the RevlonRunWalk.com website and say that you want to be, click on the Cancer Schmancer team so you can walk with me. And
Fran,
you know,
tell us your personal story. I mean, cancer obviously is such a private and such a painful thing to go through. What made you decide to turn this into such a public thing, but that, you know, could help so many other people?
Well, you know, I felt it was the only way that I could make sense out of the senseless. Now I truly believe that I got famous, I got cancer, and I live to talk about it, so I'm talking. And turning lemons into lemonade and pain into purpose is very healing. No one leaves this planet unscathed, but what
you know,
we do with it, how we work through it, and what becomes of us as a result is
yeah.
what makes a difference.
You know who we just had on, who I'm sure you're probably friends with, is Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who,
yes.
as you
and
know...
I actually knew about her battle with cancer before she announced it. And, you know, I'm very supportive of her bill, and I think that it's very brave and courageous and important that people like her, who's an elected official, comes forward and says, you know, I'm a survivor, and this we need to look into, you know, all of this a little
right.
more. And at Cancer Schmancer, you know, we're a three-prong organization. We're education, learn the early warning whispers, take control of your body, transform from being a patient into a medical consumer so you can be better partners with your physician.
Well,
and prevention and policy change.
Well,
but
you know,
prevention is why we're here today.
And Congressman Schultz, I think, you know, probably went through something sure that, you know, you went through too. She went from not wanting to be identified like that, like, oh, the congresswoman with cancer, or oh, the actress with cancer, you know, but she went through that whole process of then wanting to use it, you know, to, like you say, with her legislation to help other people.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, sometimes the best gifts come in the ugliest packages. And, you know, you got to play the hand that's dealt you. Maybe before this, she thought of herself as a congresswoman that was a do-gooder for her constituents, but strong and not, you know, having had a catastrophic illness.
Right.
But actually, you know, we have ideas of who we are or where we're going in our future, but that's only to give us a false sense of security, because actually no one has a crystal ball and no one knows what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. So one of the great life lessons that I learned is to let go of the old plan when it's not working anymore and play the hand that's dealt you. Play it courageously, play it elegantly, play with a lot of tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
well, it's
I'm
it's like what you say. It's like that old saying about, you know, life is what happens when you're making other plans, right?
Exactly. And, you know, we the Jews say, you know, man makes plans and God laughs.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You have a Dr. Bookman on the line with you?
Yes.
And does he have some thoughts on what we can do to help?
Well, Stephanie, I'll have to tell you that in America these days, we've made some tremendous advances in the laboratory and in animal studies, but we haven't always translated these to improving patient lives, and that is in cancer and heart disease and Crohn's disease, all kinds of different diseases. And what's happened in medical schools is that we've decreased the priority that's been granted to clinical research. We have fewer graduates of medical schools that are coming out that have an interest and are able to be trained and retained in clinical investigation. We've turned this over to the pharmaceutical industry de facto. Now, the pharmaceutical industry, of course, is interested in developing drugs and devices, not necessarily in determining the outcome of disease. But that's actually not their responsibility either. Their responsibility is really to their employees and their shareholders. And if we learn something that benefits the public in the process, that's terrific. But we really need to have public funding of patient-based research. And without that, there would be problems with early diagnosis of diseases, cancer and other diseases. There'll be inadequately treated diseases. And in fact, actually, there are individuals in this country that don't even get the care that's already currently available because health care delivery is not always appropriate.
Doctor, certainly, you know, talking about this helps, because I don't think anybody either doesn't know someone or has had someone that they love that they've lost to cancer. You know, we were speaking of great comedians like Fran. We were saying the other day, for some reason, we miss Madeline Kahn so much. We miss Gilda Radner. You know, it's just, you know, this is something that, you know, do you really think there's going to be a cure? And if so, what do we need to do to get there?
Well, it's a very complicated issue. I mean, we've mapped the human genome now. We spend billions of dollars doing that. And unfortunately, we've only cured half a disease. The problem is that genetics aren't the whole story. The environment's not the whole story. There are interactions between genetics and the environment, and we need to figure these things out. And they're not always related to developing a new drug or a new device. So these are the kinds of things that we need to have, for example, insurance companies that are the ultimate beneficiaries of clinical research, because when the cost of care gets better and cheaper, they benefit, but they never lower the rates.
Yep.
So they've got to be able to pay something towards this. The money that the NIH gets, a percentage of that should be allocated specifically to clinical research, not to continue funding in the silos that we currently have. We just need an increased priority and recognition for the importance of patient-based research.
And you
how are we going to know what is causing the cancer in order to prevent it. We can't rely on big business corporate America to put money into a kind of research that may actually cut into their profit margin or make some things that they're doing illegal. We have to start forcing our elected officials to appropriate funds so that we can find out if that skincare product that we're putting on the largest organ in our body actually has carcinogens in it, or that cleaning product is way too toxic.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Women in this country, American women's breast milk has the highest amount of flame retardant in it from any woman on the planet.
Wow.
Now, how disgusting is that?
Yep, absolutely. CancerSchmancer.org is the website. You can find out what you can do to help and join us at the Revlon Run Walk in New York and L.A. Fran, thank
and
you so much.
And join the Cancer Schmancer team.
Yes.
Exactly. And Dr. Bookman,
I'll be there.
Dr. Bookman, thank you. And Fran, remember...
Stephanie Miller.
To announce your run for office.
Stephanie, of course.
And you know my dream. You know my dream that you get elected to something, and in some congressional testimony, somebody is named Mr. Sheffield. You know what I'm saying? So we can hear you once again say,
yeah.
Mr. Sheffield.
Thank you. Thank you for playing along. Thank you, Fran Drescher. Love you.
You're welcome.
There she goes.
Have a great day and be well.
Thank you, doctor. Okay, there she goes.
I can't believe you got her to do that. Usually people don't like to do their catchphrases because they're sick of them. I can't believe you did that. Oh, my God.
Radio history.
Yeah.
You got someone to say their catchphrase.
Jimmy Walker out there, if you're listening right now, I need... It would be so dynamite if you would call me.
All I need is Gary Coleman.
Oh, yeah.
What you talking about, Willis?
Gary Coleman. I've had Gary Coleman on my show before. Gary, come on. You know you want to call. What's she talking about? 45 minutes after the hour, right-wingers whining about teabagging like little girls as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, my goodness. New York firefighters were treated to a rare surprise. Kim Kardashian. I wonder if they used her ginormous ass to put out the fire.
She's famous for having a sex tape and a big ass. That's it.
After dousing a high-rise blaze, they were treated to a rare surprise. Kim Kardashian. She said the group asked to take a picture with her on the way back from extinguishing a flame. She said they didn't. They said they didn't want to get too close to me because they hadn't just come and putting out the fire and they were all dirty. That's exactly the time you want to be with a firefighter, if you ask me. Lick 'em clean. Gay Penguin book remains the most challenged. What?
Whoops.
Why did you take that organ out?
It's on the button next to... Mm. Yeah, sorry.
And the critics of the Gay Penguin book remain the most challenged, huh?
Yes.
For the third... Mentally, yes. For the third year in a row, the most challenged book was And Tango Makes Three.
Oh.
The award-winning picture story about two male penguins who become parents. Tango was cited for being anti-family, pro-gay, and anti-religion.
No, they formed a family in that book, so it's very pro-family.
Okay.
Pro-gay penguin family. Ha-ha-ha! They're fictional characters.
FYI,
they're penguins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Speaking of which, let's skip to 15. New York Governor David Patterson unveiled legislation to allow same-sex couples to marry.
We have all known the wrath of discrimination. We have all felt the pain and the insult of hatred. This is why we are all standing here today. We stand to tell the world that we want equality for everyone. We stand to tell the world that we want marriage equality in New York State.
He said marriage equality is about basic civil rights and freedom.
They may take our
rights,
but they'll never take
thing called freedom!
Okay.
Do you have a horse, too?
There.
No? A horse is a horse, of course.
You see the slippery slope to bestiality? The next thing a man will be able to marry his horse. You see?
And if then he's wearing his freedom.
As long as he's wearing a skirt. Then.
Ann Coulter has turned down a role in the movie Fair Game about Valerie Plame.
Hmm.
I think she would make a fabulous leading man.
It's a man, baby!
No, she used to play herself. In the Sean Penn.
They're
just
going to make fun of me by quoting me exactly.
Sean Penn is playing Joe Wilson, and Naomi Watts is playing Valerie Plame. She was supposed to be in a scene where she would be screaming invectives at Joe Wilson.
That's funny.
Then maybe you should play her.
Yeah.
Put a blonde wig on you.
I could play.
And, you know, fake Adam's apple.
I don't have a big enough. Okay. All right. By the by, so the tea parties, I believe we had a right-wing caller yesterday that said he was at the Atlanta one, and he said there were 25,000 people there and that I'm a liar.
Really?
Liar, liar, liar if I say any different. Nate Silver at 538.com, who was eerily accurate during the primaries and the presidential election, says there was 1,700. So that made Bill O'Reilly scream like a little girl.
Many in the American media are not very interested in reporting the news. Their mission is to promote ideology, left-wing ideology, and this network has been accused of the opposite, but our coverage of the Tea Parties was vastly superior to anything else around.
That's because it was
your promotion.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're not gonna cover a promotion that the station across the street does.
And Neil Cavuto got caught on tape lying.
Yeah. Yes.
He was off camera saying, about what 5, is there maybe 5,000? He went on and he said that they thought there'd be 5,000. There must be triple that here.
Yeah.
Sean Hannity.
Now the left-wing media insists that yesterday's tea parties were a sham. And doesn't that capture exactly what they are all about? And that is our headline this Thursday night, day number 87 of America's redistribution plan, and day number 2 of America not taking it anymore, completely out of touch. Now, thousands upon thousands of Americans rallied yesterday in cities all across the country, yet the left-wing, completely pathetic Obama mania media, well, they refused to report the truth about what happened. Instead, their sorry old Obama apologizing, well, once again, it has gotten the best of them.
In what way? In that we've shown you to be complete liars and frauds and hypocrites?
Okay.
It was a Fox promotion.
Yeah, it's because we're not just Obama lovers. We're commie homo lovers. That's what?
Here's the point. These Obama cutouts and sycophants, the Obama mania media and the press, they always do this to people that they disagree with. Now, they love anti-war and Prop A protests in California, but when Americans stand up against a radical socialist agenda that they endorse, well, the press falls all over themselves trying to dismiss them as phonies. And that's why people are watching this network, the Fox News Channel, in record numbers. And why they have written off so many of our competitors.
Really?
Yeah, no.
Wow. Computer says no.
Wow.
He's deluded.
I'm going to guess that this made Bill O'Reilly's head explode. The president in Mexico yesterday.
He's the leader of his country.
Chavez.
Chavez.
He'll be one of many people that I have an opportunity to meet. And the whole message that we've tried to send throughout my campaign, throughout my recent travels overseas, at the G20, for example, has been that the United States, I think, has a leadership role to play in dealing with many of the big problems that we face.
Do
it live!
Oh, no.
I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Oh, no.
Thing sucks!
Oh. Someone said mattress to Mr. Lambert.
And I'm guessing tonight on what the Fox, this will be the socialist plot that they'll talk about, Jim. Obama unveils high-speed rail plan. Just like they have in...
A high-speed raid from Disneyland to a whorehouse.
In Europe. Mm-hmm.
Imagine boarding a train in the center of a city.
Mm-hmm.
No racing to an airport.
Yep.
And across a terminal. No delays. No sitting on the tarmac. No lost luggage. No taking off your shoes.
No.
Imagine whisking through towns at speeds over 100 miles an hour.
Cool.
Walking only a few steps to public transportation.
Oh,
and ending
yeah.
up just blocks from your destination.
Imagine what a great project that would be to rebuild America.
Yes,
imagine
it would.
Living in Europe.
Meet George Jetson.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Exactly.
I would kill for a high-speed train between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
I said the last time I flew, if I have to take that many things off, somebody is having sex with me. That is it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Baker. We'll see you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.